Okay, very good. We like to, there are quite a few people who will tune in at a later date and read our post-session notes, and so we pretty much go through it each time. And one of the things we're going to be talking about today, and Glo will be joining us shortly, will be the summer grantee meeting. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the topic that's at the front of the news is the, as far as environmental job training programs, is the award yesterday. Lisa Jackson announced the award. Oh, someone just joined.
Mm-hmm. Debbie Weason.
Hey, Debbie. We're just talking about the awards that were made yesterday by Lisa Jackson and EPA of the mm-hmm. job training grantees. Very interesting this year. Mm-hmm. Of course, they were due in the spring. The RFPs were going to go out in November, and, of course, things were delayed, and there was delayed submissions. And then when they were sent in, of course, they did say they would be ready in June, and, of course, there was a little bit of a delay in terms of the evaluation, but they did finally come out with them. And the interesting thing was that the funding level. Someone just joined?
Al Dyson.
Hey, Al, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. We're just talking about the awards that were just announced yesterday for this round of the job training grantees.
Yes.
And the very interesting part of this was that there was a $6 million worth of grantees, which is 21 awardees instead of, usually it's 10.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And to give you a little history of what happened with the Brownfields, which is now the Environmental Job Training Workforce and Development Job Training Program.
Yes.
It started out as strictly a Brownfields training program, and
mm-hmm.
the budget remained small, somewhere around $3 million every year. They limited it to $200,000 per grant and for a two-year period, and then there were no re-ups allowed. When George will
mm-hmm.
remember this.
That's right, sure I do.
The days. When the stimulus package, ARRA, came along, they bumped this up to $300,000. Someone just
mm-hmm.
joined?
Hi, this is Glo.
Hey, Glo.
Hi, Glo.
I'm a few minutes late, sorry.
Well, that's okay. We'll
yeah.
give you demerits for that, but that's okay. We're just talking about the awards that were announced yesterday by Lisa Jackson.
Very cool.
Well, the interesting thing, and when Glo saw it first, and she said, did you see? We have 21 grantees,
mm-hmm.
And that's $6.2 million, which is quite a doubling of our budget from last year.
Yes.
And, of course, doubling of the grantees. Normally it's around 10, and now it's 21.
Mm-hmm.
They had 110 applications, so the odds still are not. There's plenty of room for expansion
sure.
still. Of the 110, you usually knock out about down to about 70 or 60 of what we would call serious contenders
mm-hmm.
that don't make the qualifying criteria.
Right.
That go into the ranking criteria, but 60 down to 20. So
mm-hmm.
we're talking, still a sizable cut that has to be made.
Yes.
But what happened was, and George will remember this from
mm-hmm.
the grantee meetings of the past,
yes.
there's been an effort to become more ecumenical in EPA, and I think they realized
mm-hmm.
that the Brownfields job training program was the only job training program in EPA. There's
mm-hmm.
another one that's very obscure that they don't talk about much. It's the Superfund job training program,
mm-hmm.
and you'll hear about that, but it's more of a contracted type of thing. They'll negotiate, they'll train at, a paint manufacturing site, and they'll put on similar courses to what we put on, but it's not a systematic or an organized job training program as the
mm-hmm.
what the old Brownfield job training programs were. It's more specific training, one-time deals that don't last for a period of time like the job training programs that we
mm-hmm.
have. So what happened in Office of Solid Waste and Emergency Response is they've reached out to some of the other offices within EPA, and they're jumping in the bandwagon. And, of course, the $6 million, I don't believe that necessarily that Oswer put more money into it for Brownfields, but other people joined in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing now an expansion
yes.
into other environmental venues, and our job training program will be expanding, and that's really a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
One of the concerns that people have been asking me about is in the midst of this Congress and the tremendous job budget cuts, what's going to happen to this environmental training program?
Mm-hmm.
I looked into the 2012 appropriations bill. This is the bill that's being proposed by the Republican Congress.
Yes.
They are looking at an EPA cut that's fairly severe.
Mm-hmm.
They want to cut the overall budget. They want to cut $2.1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And that would require an 18% cut in the EPA budget down to about $7.1 billion
mm-hmm.
and a 20% cut from what President Obama wanted.
Right.
That is a little alarming, but when you look into it further, that 18% cut seems to be coming out of a lot of programs that aren't necessarily going to affect us.
Mm-hmm.
They're cutting some water, wastewater programs. They want to cut clean water and drinking water and the state revolving funds. They want to take out almost $1 billion out of that, $900 million from clean water, drinking water, state revolving fund. They want to take out $100 million for state implementation plans, They want to take out $400 million to cut EPA operations and administration. So
mm-hmm.
they anticipate some fairly heavy cuts in agency staff.
Yes.
The regulatory programs will be cut. Great Lakes restoration, Chesapeake Bay restoration, Puget
mm-hmm.
Sound restoration. But nowhere in here is there any indication that our program would be affected. So
right.
that's good news.
Yes.
The other good news is that in their wisdom, EPA staff has chosen to expand this program to include other environmental disciplines
mm-hmm.
like urban agriculture and perhaps water and some of the others. So I think things are encouraging for the job training program despite
yes.
what we're hearing in terms of cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this could all change if the agency decides to take this 18% hit in another way. Right now it's being proposed to cut specific programs.
Yes.
If one thing that EPA has done in the past is taken the cut across the board where they cut all their programs
mm-hmm.
a certain percentage. So if that happens, we might have some problems. But at this point, it still looks pretty good.
Well, maybe they boosted it to 21
yeah.
this year, Mike, anticipating a cut for next year.
Yeah, yeah. So I anticipate it will continue to be good, and I think we have to go forward in a positive note. The next question that a lot of people have asked me is, okay, these 21 have been granted. We talked a little earlier about some of the people who have gotten grants. What's next? And if EPA holds true to form, and we'll probably find out specifically in August,
mm-hmm.
What will happen with the next round of grants. Probably the RFP will go out in November or so,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll have due dates in hopefully the early in 2012 to be awarded,
mm-hmm.
you know, in early summer, again, pretty much in the same cycle, hopefully in the May, June, and then we'll go on to the next cycle. And hopefully, if things all go well, we'll stick with about 21 grantees. So
mm-hmm.
this is all we'll have to pin down EPA more specifically in August when we meet with them.
That's
but
good.
My anticipation is that unless some cuts kick in,
mm-hmm.
those of you who have not or were not recipients of awards in this round, the thing to do is to now start preparing for the next round and anticipate that to be coming before year end.
Yes.
And now is the time, as you all who have experience, now is the time to start working on the next grant proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll come sooner than you think.
Hey, Mike, Al Dyson.
Yes, sir, Al.
Is that list of the ones that are awarded, is it on the website somewhere? Is there a link? How do you find out?
Yes, it is. It's on a link, and I'll put it in the post-session notes.
Okay.
There's a link with, not only is there a link, but it'll go through every state and who is granted. In what state are you from, Al?
I'm in Tennessee.
Tennessee, a Memphis BioWorks Foundation, that one for $292,000. And then the Enterprise Center in Chattanooga got one for $300,000.
Al, this is Glo. If you go to EPA's website, just go to epa.gov/brownfields. And on the right side of the screen is a link that says, it has a little yellow marker that says new, and it's FY11 Environmental Workforce Development and Job Training Grantees Announced. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy to find.
Okay.
I just want to introduce myself, Dan Butler from the Green Team in Bridgeport,
yes, sir.
Connecticut. I'm sorry that we're late. We had some things here in the office that came up suddenly.
That's fine. It happens all the time. And I was saying to George when he came on, we do record these calls, and we do post-session notes, and there's also a possibility of playback. So
mm-hmm.
We've been talking about the awards that have been made just yesterday, while there were 21 of them with a record funding, they doubled the funding this year, and they doubled the number of grantees, and they hit most of the many people who have been on the call. Alaska were part of our professional learning community,
right.
Quite a few others. OAI was a recipient again. Now, OAI is pretty much in the class of George. George
mm-hmm.
is one of our stars. We're fortunate to have George on the call today. George is with New Jersey Youth Corps, who have been with us since the beginning, haven't you, George?
Yes, we
much.
Have, since right from the beginning. We were one of the first ones to receive the grant. I think we've received it 6 times over the years. And then, but in between, we've always we've never not been denied a grant. We've just been able to find dollars from other resources.
Now, one of the things we want to talk about today is sustainability, George.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back to this, because the big question is, what do you do between grants and also
yes.
You know, grants don't go on forever. So
no.
we do want to come back to this. But there was quite a distribution of grantees. But what I would say to those who are on the call or listen to this call who did not make it, don't walk away from this. Clearly, now George has been extremely successful in his grants proposals, but many of our grantees have been denied once, twice, three times. And,
yes.
And we look at this as a learning process, and usually – if you're rejected the first time, this is the way you go about doing it. You want to contact your regional rep.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly want to get the reader's notes. And you want to find out and have discussions with your regional coordinator of where you are weak and what you need to do
right.
to get the grant next time. And,
yes.
and I would be very proactive and say, and again, the reason I say this is those who are persistent usually prevail
mm-hmm.
in job training. In these job training grants, what I would do is go to your regional rep and say, well, it looks like we didn't make it this time. One, what did we do wrong? Two, we plan on resubmitting, and how do we make this, how do we get this award, and what do we need to do to get this award?
Yes.
And I think you'll find that they're going to be very receptive, and they may say, well, you're going to have to form stronger partnerships. They may say, well, someone else in your area submitted a grant, and I recommend you meet with them and submit a joint proposal, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might say, you're weak in this area, or you don't have this depth in this certain area. Or you may have, it may be a grant writing issue where we know what you've got the capability and you got it there, but you didn't put it in words, or you didn't spend enough time answering the questions. The last cycle of the professional learning community, we went through the grant and fine-tooth comb, and one of the things that we emphasized is in the ranking criteria on these grants,
yes.
you have to answer every question, everyone line by line. And perhaps if you didn't receive it, you may have just omitted answering one or two questions, and that with 100 grantee submissions, it may have been enough to knock you down, to knock you out. And it could have been that you had a winning grant that would have been funded, but for only a very small submission. Or perhaps you answered a question in one place, assumed that that question would have been carried over to some other answer, and it wasn't, because each ranking criteria is evaluated independently, and maybe someone else didn't see that you had actually stated something in a previous part of the grant. So
that's right.
So these are all things that your regional rep will sit down with you on. And until the next RFP goes out, they can work with you as almost like a coach in coaching you along to write an acceptable grant. So clearly, if you did get one, I wouldn't be discouraged at all. And I would, of course, suggest we stay on the PLCs as we continue these. And as we get closer, we'll be, again, talking about the grant when it starts to come up again. But certainly keep in tune, and don't feel that because you got rejected, you don't have a good enough organization, or you're not worthy of it, or you're not capable, or it often has nothing to do with it. We sometimes have very good organizations that will get a grant and then won't get it for a year or two because of whatever, the way the readers read them or whatever. So with that, that is for this year's round. Again, this year's round is completed, but we're now already talking about next year's round and resubmission. And it's time to start looking forward and move forward from there. On that note, one of the things I'd like to talk about, and Glo, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. One of the things that we do for those people who are interested in developing job training programs and may have submitted or not submitted, we like to invite them to our annual conference. And Glo, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, through our cooperative agreement with the EPA, one of the deliverables that we do is an all grantee meeting where we bring together all of the grantees who are like George, currently working on money or have worked on EPA money. It can be any grantee from the beginning of time, as long as they have been funded by EPA. We bring them all together in one place so that they can share ideas of what works, what doesn't work. I think, George, haven't you been to every single meeting since 1998?
Yes, I believe we have, Glo. Yes, forward to this one. And that's one of the reasons why we've been so successful. You know, we give and take at these meetings, and, we receive lots of help, and we give out lots of help also.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's what we've found, that the grantees, everyone learns best from those who have done the work. It's not a kind of meeting where we have a bunch of speakers that stand up and tell you what you need to do.
No.
You're going to interact with other grantees who are actually doing the work, and that's where you're going to learn the most. And
that's
on
right.
The agendas are all built from the topics that all the grantees want to talk about. So on their registration forms, they actually send me three topics that they want to talk about during the meeting, and I will compile those, and that's what we use to build the agenda. So what this is, it's just a sharing meeting. It starts on, this year, it's on August 22nd and 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Alexandria, Virginia.
Right.
We start the meeting on a Monday evening so that you guys have all day Monday to travel and get there, which just gives you a little less time to take away from work. And then Tuesday is a very long day. We go from 8 in the morning till 7 in the evening, but there again, we have tried it where we quit at like 4 o'clock and come back next day, but people can't attend the next day because they all have to travel.
Right.
So this actually works best from what people have told us. As an active PLC member, but you do have to be active, I want to stress that word, we can extend this invitation to you. So even though you don't have an EPA-funded program, you're still learning whether or not you want to even do this, we can bring you to this meeting so that you can interact with the grantees and learn more about building a job training program and how to sustain it. Through our cooperative agreement, we can pay your lodging expenses for two nights. There is a working lunch that's included on Tuesday. All other expenses would be up to the participants. But like I said, the active PLC members are very welcome and encouraged to attend. I think you'd get a lot out of it.
Basically, the cost to the participants is to get there. They have to get there. And then meals.
A couple of meals
on their own. The meal on the 23rd, they'll basically get lunch, and there's actually a little bit of a breakfast, bagels and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they would have to get take care of their dinner, and that's about it. And then the rest of it's free. Now, procedurally, what is going to happen in the post session notes? I'm going to send out Glow's invitation, and if you're interested, then you need to contact Glow. The instructions are on the form, and we can move forward that way.
Yes.
We'd look forward to having anyone who's interested participating in that. We have about 130 people there. There'll be EPA people.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be all the regional reps. So actually, if you've submitted a grant and you were not accepted, it might be a good time to sit down with your regional rep and also other grantees in your region.
Yes.
And talk to them very specifically about it. And if you talk to your regional rep, they might share with you some of the grant proposals or work with you on that.
One thing to facilitate that is that when we don't do seating charts or anything like that, but we do arrange the room by region so that all the grantees can sit with grantees from their own region along with their regional EPA rep.
Right. So when you get this, invite in the next 2 days in the job post session notes, it'll just be an attachment PDF. Contact Glow. All the instructions are there on how to register, and we'll move forward. Let's move on and talk about sustainability in the little time we have left. And while we have George on the line, I think we need to share with him how he was able to sustain his organization. There were gaps where you didn't receive continual funding, and EPA, as a matter of fact, would not necessarily fund continually year after year. Some regional reps say, well, we don't want someone to be at the trough all the time.
Yes.
So we will refund them, but they have to sit out a year or a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
What was your approach, George, on this?
Well, our approach was, I'm a deputy director of New Jersey Youth Corps, and it's a program that's been around for 25 years in New Jersey. And we have 11 sites throughout the state, and we work with youth between 16 and 25 that have dropped out of high school. So we do have a lot of money coming in for our Youth Corps program, and it's an education and training program. And so besides getting them their GED, we also work on developing a job ethic or work ethic. And for our graduates, we have transition services, whether it's college or training or apprenticeships or other service programs. And we looked at the Brownfields job training back in, I guess, 97, 98. As a good avenue maybe for giving some of our grads some very technical training where the grads can really hit the ground running and where there always seems to be jobs. And we applied that way back when for this, and we've been running two training sessions a year since 97 or 98. And on the average, we have about 30 youth in each one of those sessions. We just finished up our double round on June 10th, and then we're starting another Brownfield job training program in October.
So So you were able, when EPA funds ran out, and early on it was only $200,000 for two years.
That's right.
You were able to
rely on some
U Corps money.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the money from other foundations and state and government organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of my job, is rounding up the resources.
Now, do you treat this as a gigantic pot that you throw money into or get money to go into and then draw from that?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have money right now to continue our brownfields training through December of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And already we've started searching for funds for 2012 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And though we haven't really looked at the EPA grant in a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're looking at urban agriculture right now might be a good thing, because we have a Department of Agriculture approved Academy for Urban and Community Forestry.
Mm. Mm.
So I think that would fall in line with.
Urban agriculture has become extremely popular in cities, Boston, Chicago. One of the things OAI has been focusing on has been urban agriculture in the Chicago area. And also what's mm-hmm. interesting about urban agriculture is it's an EPA-sponsored activity, which is a little different than weatherization.
That's true.
Weatherization has been basically forwarded by HUD.
Mm-hmm.
It started perhaps in EPA, but HUD kind of took the reins in terms of funding programs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were you also funded by HUD in your program?
No, we never received HUD funding.
Mm-hmm.
We had some stimulus dollars when we first started our green industry training. When I say the other green industry, that would be the weatherization and the energy audits.
Mm-hmm.
And we had gotten over $2 million for that.
Wow.
And so we still have four crews around the state doing energy audits and weatherization,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing okay. It never really took off like we all thought it would.
Right. We thought that was going to be a huge money pot, and it seemed like HUD got in it in such a big way, and the jobs never seemed to materialize.
No, they never materialized. Or if they did, they went to already existing firms.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a problem in alternative energy. When you've got electricians on the bench who are
I was going to say, we have people trained in that, in wind generation and solar panels and that as in entry level positions. But no, the electricians, as you said, really jumped on that one.
Mm-hmm. So it becomes difficult unless you're doing incumbent training, which people who are already employed and upgrading their skills, but. You've got people with these skills, and it's pretty hard for you to train people from scratch that are going to compete with these people already. So you were able to basically tap into some state funds and federal funds.
Yes.
And these were federal grants that you went after through HUD. And now, have you done anything with the EPA, with the VA, Veterans Administration?
We did. We were able to, again, early on, coupled with our green industry, the energy audits and weatherization, we were able to get, I forget just how much it was, but we were able to hire 12 returning veterans.
Excellent.
For each one of our sites to be a crew leader.
Excellent.
Now, actually, we did better than that. We had 3, 6, 12, I think we had 15 or 16 veterans we were able to hire.
Mm-hmm.
And where we had the energy audit teams, we were able to hire 3 veterans for each one of those programs, as well as all the equipment.
The reason I mentioned the VA is that is one of the remaining areas that there's keen interest in training.
Yes.
And they are funding veterans reintegration programs.
Mm-hmm.
This is going through June of 2012. There was a appropriation authorization through Department of Labor and also the Veterans Administration to provide jobs and training to homeless veterans. And
that's right. Yes.
That program is an active one, and those who are looking at sustaining programs, in addition to EPA funding, if you're looking at federal programs, there's limited places. There's, of course, the EPA re-up. There's some Department of Labor VA money out there. There is some OSHA money, Susan Harwood grants, which is difficult money to get. It's, they have very specific requirements and usually goes to people who are already in the business
mm-hmm.
of that.
Yes.
There is state funding is going to be trickier in the next year or so because state budgets are under such scrutiny. And George has taken advantage of Youth Build, which is one of the bigger Department of Labor funding programs.
Yes.
And,
yes,
and
yes,
that's.
Yep. And although this year I have to admit, in the welfare state funds, about $5 million remained intact.
Wow.
But where we did take almost a $400,000 cut was with the Workforce Investment Act.
Hmm.
This is the first year in since WEA that we haven't had a we don't have a nickel of WEA dollars in our program,
wow.
which really sounds unusual.
Yeah.
And
now,
we expect that to be restored.
Now that's the Workforce Investment Act is not Youth Build though. It's different, right?
Yes. No, I know that.
Oh.
But,
okay.
Yes. Yeah, but the Youth Build dollars were there.
Okay.
And but no, the WEA Youth dollars normally we'll get quite a bit. But this year we don't have a nickel of WEA dollars.
Mm-hmm. But that may come back if.
We think it'll be restored. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was just I understand because of a cut at the federal level.
Right. We try to keep these calls to just 30 minutes, so I'm going to
mm-hmm.
wrap this up. But one thing I would like to inform everyone of, and I'm going to put it again in the post session notes. There's an organization called Green for All,
mm-hmm.
and this Green for All has to do with green jobs, which is environmental job training and the workforce development is kind of a subset of all green jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Green jobs is tends to be a little more political. It's a national movement.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you who are not part of Green for All or get involved, it's an interesting site because they do focus a lot on what kind of green job funding is available. And much of this is applicable to people in our professional learning communities and people interested in EPA training.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to have a conference call next Tuesday on July 19th,
mm-hmm.
3 p.m. Eastern time. Now, this is going to be a lengthy call. It's like an hour and a half.
Right.
And you can sign up for this call, and I'll put a note on how to do that. It's their basic indicate the Recovery Act put a lot of money into training displaced and disenfranchised workers into
mm-hmm.
energy efficiency and other green sectors
right.
as the funding period for Pathways Out of Poverty. Now, this is a very big stimulus program with
yes.
Pathways Out of Poverty, $500 million, I believe.
Right.
That program is coming to a close,
mm-hmm.
and what happened was a lot of nonprofits geared up, and they developed new curriculum and training and jobs, and now all of a sudden they're finding that this funding is ending. All the stimulus is ending.
Yes.
And now the question is how do you sustain your program in the wake of stimulus funding that was given out over a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have a conference call. Most of the people, some are from Goodwill Industries and Rising Sun Energy Center. This call may be more general and less applicable to the types of training that we're doing, but
mm-hmm.
You might want to sign up for it. And I'll put notes in on how you might do that. You might
right.
find something interesting in this session.
Yes.
It's always good to follow Green for All because they're kind of a much larger organization, but have common interests in what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
We need to wind up this week. Anyone have any comments or anything they'd like to add to what we've been talking about today?
Mike, I just wanted to add one thing, that the hotel deadline for the all grantee meeting is July 25th. So if any of you do plan to attend, please get registered as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Glo, do you recall if I registered or not? George.
You did. You
I,
did.
Okay.
And so did Lynn. Are you both going to be able to come?
Yeah, no, probably just me.
Probably
yes.
just you. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I got you, George.
Okay. And if you need a facilitator for any session, I'll put me down.
Well, you know
looking.
I always usually call you on that.
I know that.
We're looking,
I think
we're looking
I've done all the sessions at one time or another.
Uh-huh.
We're looking forward to that. Yes. We're looking forward to that, and we'll hopefully we'll see everyone again on the 27th. That'll be the next professional learning community call.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send out post-session notes and some reminders for the next session.
Good.
And right now we're kind of scheduled to start talking about curriculum, unless someone's got something pressing that they would like to investigate besides that.
That's good. I can talk a little bit about that. We started out with a 12-week program, and now we're down to a solid 4 or 5 week program, and that seems to be the best one yet.
That would be excellent, because
yes.
Curriculum is key to these programs.
Yes.
So, great. Okay, well, we'll see you all on the 17th, same time.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes, sir, Al.
Send that link. I was not able to see it on the website.
Which link was that?
About the grantees.
About the which?
The grantees.
Okay. I'll put that on the post-session notes, which you'll get tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll put that on. Okay, y'all take
Thanks,
care
Mike.
Now.
Yep.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
called.
How's it going?
We got a problem. I will send you an email. I'm not really upset. I you just made a mistake. But I looked at that website, and by you calling me a project manager director, no wonder, you know, AEP got a hold of that, and that's how the man found us. You got it, where you got it listed on there is like I'm an employee. Everybody thinks I work for you, and that's not correct.
Okay.
So just to change it quickly, have Joel change it to project management consultant. It's very important to use the word consultant because IRS, they have specific rules about employee versus consultant or contractor.
Okay,
and,
I'll have him change it to consultant.
Okay, immediately. And then I'm going to send you this email. And what we need to do, and it's not so much a trust against you or anything, we can just, I got some candid contracts, and it's just a, like one or two pages. Basically what you do, I sign it, you sign it, and it pretty much just says you're hired to do consulting services as needed, something like that. That way if the IRS ever come after you, see, I filed my taxes as president of Dyson Engineering. That's why I get all the checks made out to Dyson Engineering. And the last thing I want is IRS coming in here trying to audit or checking me out and trying to accuse me of being an employee because, see, they'll be wanting taxes as an employee and might even cause you a problem, too. So you got to be real careful with that kind of stuff. But anyway, if he changes it to consultant immediately, I think that'll get us out of trouble for right now. And I know you're at work, so I'm going to send you an email and copy Joel, but get him to change it as soon as he can.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, bye.
doing with Ms. Schneider. I'm currently out of the office until Thursday, July the 14th. If you need immediate assistance, please dial 0 for the receptionist.
After the tone, please record your message. When finished, you may hang up to deliver the message or press pound for more options.
Hey, Ms. Lee, this is Al Dyson. I was calling to register for the August 2nd breakfast. I tried to do it online. I understand it's not available to the July the 28th, but I'll be out of town. So I'll just send you an email, Al Dyson, registration for August 2nd at the Racquet Club. Bye. Hey, Booker.
Hey, Cal, what's going on?
You got it. Yeah, I know about the meeting, but I had something to come up. I'm trying to get there by 3:30.
Yeah, it's going to be at 3:30, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying my best to get there, but something came up that I had to take care of.
Yeah,
I'm trying my best to get there. I'll see you there.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.